We don't waste our time when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and when we remember that the gospel is going to bring persecution, rejection. People are going to hate us. They don't want nothing to do with us. But yet, because we belong to Him, He will protect you. He will watch over you. He will demonstrate His love and power over your life, and you will shine as the stars of the heaven.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today's lesson continues our study of 1 Peter with a challenge to boldly share the gospel's good news. Roel will urge us to persevere in pointing people to the Lord, even if we are rejected or harassed for our faith. Stay with us for a reminder that many others, including Jesus Himself, have endured persecution. When you stand firm, God can use you mightily in building His kingdom. Let's listen as Roel Reese begins.
Verse 17, 1 Peter 3. He says, "For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Notice that. What's my first instance when somebody is coming against me? I want to get even. And yet doing the will of God is not always easy, but it's what? It's always the best thing to do, according to God's word. And this is the reason that we do what is right and good, never compromising. Never, ever compromising. And I'm talking to myself tonight too. We cannot compromise. The will of God, think about this, the will of God was fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Imagine out of all eternity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Father decided to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. To do what? To fulfill His will. And what was His will? To save people like you and me by Him going to the cross and dying, and then rising the third day, and then 40 days later, going back to heaven. That was God's perfect will. John 4:34. Jesus said unto them, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me for to finish His work." John 5:30, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Notice that. And then Hebrews 10:7. "Then I said, Behold, I have come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, to do your will, O God." The will of God is what? Obedience. Not disobedience. To do the will of God is to obey Him. The will of God is irresistible. Irresistible. Listen, Daniel 4:17, "This decision is by the decree of the watchers, the angels, and the sentence by the word of the holy ones, the angels, in order that the living may know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever He will and sets over it the lowest of men." What is He saying? He's talking about prophecy. It's really important that we understand that God is in control. Our country and any country is not governed by rulers like queens or kings or presidents or dignitaries or anybody like that. It's God that is in control. He uses them as puppets. To do what? To fulfill His will. To fulfill His will, just like He will use you to fulfill His will. It's really important that we understand God's will. In John 1:13, He says, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but the will of God." And then Romans 9:19, He says, "You will say to me then, why does He still find fault? For who has resisted His will?" Everything to do with the will of God. If we resist the will of God, what's going to happen? We're going to get spanked. Remember Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 6 through 12. If we're truly sons and daughters of God, and God has called us to suffer, if God has called us to be obedient, if God has called us to really trust in Him, and you don't really want to follow the way of Calvary, then God has ways of what? Of spanking you and getting you back on track. Why? He's in charge. You're not. I'm not. He is going to fulfill His will in my life and in your life. Ephesians 1:5 says, having predestinated us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ in Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Notice that. James 1:18. Of His own will, He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Isn't that interesting? Of His creatures. Jesus Christ has chosen you, has chosen me to fulfill His will in my life and in your life. Did you notice that Peter, his statement here in verse 17, it is the will of God. Notice, I underline that. It is the will of God. If it is the will of God for you to be poor and never to be rich or never to get married or whatever it is, then you need to be satisfied with God's will. He knows what's best for you. God is not the source of evil or suffering. But He shows suffering to come into our lives, even when He allows it to come into my life. It is because of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. And that's really important to understand, because if we don't understand that, then we'll be in deep trouble completely and fully in our complete lives. That it's really important to understand everything that God has in my life and in your life. And the reason for that is because He wants to do what? He wants us to understand that He doesn't hate you, but He loves you. He loves you more than ever, ever before. And the reason is because of what His Son, Jesus Christ, has come to do on the cross. Can you imagine how He must have felt when He left all eternity to come down here? Think about that. Out of all eternity, being with the Father forever, and all of a sudden coming down here and standing before men that hate you, they don't like you, they don't love you, they want nothing to do with you, and then they spit on your face, and then they give you a cross to carry, and then they hang you on that cross, and they begin to say all kinds of evil things against you because they hate you so much. That's what happened to Jesus Christ when He came. We need to remember that, because it's the Lord that was sent by God the Father. Suffering is good. It's for our own good. It's not evil. It's not bad. It's good. God's in control. God's in command. God knows what He's doing in our lives. Remember what He said in the book of Acts 13:50? He says, but when the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, they raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. I mean, Paul and Silas, man, they were beaten for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were run out of town all the time. Peter, James, John, all of them. And if we read the Old Testament and we read what happened to the prophets of old, how they took them and they prosecuted them and killed them. Think about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. 52 years he preaches and not one person comes to know God. They take him and they put him in the cistern that is full of mud, which the water was kept inside. They took him down and they raised him down into this hole, and he sunk into the mud up to his nostrils and almost drowned and almost suffocated. And the Lord went before him to the king, and they pulled him out finally, because he was proclaiming the gospel of truth against Judah, that God was going to judge them. And they didn't want to hear that. They want to hear great things. And yet, Romans 8:28 says what? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. I like that. God knows who you are. He knows what you're going through. You don't have to worry about it. If God is for me, who can be against me? Think about that. Who can be against you or me if God is for us? Jesus Christ loves you. He cares about you. Remember 1 Timothy 4:10? For to this end, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. 2 Timothy 3:10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, and perseverance, Paul says to Timothy. You have followed me. Why? Because I have followed Jesus Christ. And that's what the world's watching. They're watching our lives fully and completely to see what we're going to do, to see where we are. So what do we need to do? We need to learn not to complain, but to give thanks to the Lord because He is the one that is allowing this in my life and He knows what's best for my life. I don't. He knows what is best for my life. Psalm 34:3 says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt His name together." Psalm 104, "Enter into His gate with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name." And bless His name. This is why we need to really be careful as we read the book of Peter. What is Peter doing? He's instructing us. And check this out. This is amazing. When we started 1 Peter, we're going to go chapter by chapter fast. But the times that we're living in today, 1 Peter and 2 Peter are perfectly for us. That's why I slow down. The things that people are facing today are in 1 and 2 Peter. You need to get used to 1 and 2 Peter. Check this out, third observation now. Peter turns now to naturally enough to Christ, the supreme example, not only of suffering, but that suffering is doing good and allows us, each one of us individually, to identify more closely to Jesus Christ than anybody else. We identify with the Lord Jesus Christ fully and completely in our lives when we do that.
You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. Well, I have Pastor Raul here with me in the studio, and we're talking about the upcoming tour to Israel in April of 2026.
Yeah, it's going to be really neat. We're going to have, you know, a time of fellowship. Then we're going to be in the different sites together. And so that's what we want to take you. You don't have to belong to this church. You can belong to another church, no problem. We're not trying to steal you from the church. We're trying to educate you so when you go back to your church, you can educate them. So you need to go.
Well, you can get all of the information to join Pastor Raul and his son Ryan on our website, somebodylovesyou.com. Well, let's continue now with more of our study of 1 Peter.
Verse 18 of chapter 3 of 1 Peter. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that Jesus Christ might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit of God." Isn't that amazing? Look what he says. Christ has done this so that he might bring us to God. How? By being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the Holy Spirit of God. Can you imagine what he's done for you and me and how we need to get close to the heart of God in our own personal lives? This is what he says in Isaiah 53:3. He says, "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him." It speaks of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you talk to the Jews and you say, "Can you read with me Isaiah 52 and 53? And you ask them, "Who is he talking about?" You know what they'll tell you? He's talking about the nation of Israel. Israel, the Jews. He's not talking about the Jews, and he's not talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about Jesus, the suffering servant. The suffering servant, Jesus Christ. That's why Isaiah 53:3 says what? He, Jesus, is despised and rejected by men. 750 years before he died. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Romans 8:9. But you are not in the spirit, but in the spirit of God. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, check this out. He is none of his. None of his. Galatians 5:24. And those who are Christ have crucified their flesh with the passions and desires of the flesh. 1 John 2:15, 16. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. So what is Peter doing here? Peter begins now with the facts of Christ. Not only his suffering, but his redemption. His redemption for us. What does he say? For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed from the day of redemption. Isn't that interesting? The Holy Spirit. What grieves the Holy Spirit of God? Sin. Bitterness, anger, any kind of sin that you live in grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And that's why we come to the cross every single day of Jesus Christ. To do what? To be cleansed by his blood. Because in the Old Testament, it was the blood of goats and lambs and turtle doves and pigeons. Hebrews 9:12 says, not with the blood of goats or calves, but his own blood, Jesus entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Isn't that neat? When we came to the cross of Jesus Christ, we were cleansed and washed from all of our sins once and for all, which means what? He'll never bring them ever up again. Never again. And yet in the book of Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, those that are in hell and will go to hell in the present and in the future, at the end of time, what's going to happen? When they're pulled out of hell, hell's cast into the lake of fire, the books are going to be opened, and whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But before that, the books will be opened and every sin is going to be pulled out, called out. To those people that are standing before God. But not so to the church. Not so to Christians. We're done with sin. Yes, we trip. We fall every day. And what do? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1:7 says that in 1:9. He cleanses us by his blood. Why? Because we are dead in our flesh, but alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. Being what? Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. So this is truly the concept not only of Peter, but of Paul. Remember Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:21? For he made Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed in the world, and check this out, received up into glory. When he was taken into glory, up to heaven, by the Lord Jesus Christ, was taken by the Father. Peter was in Jerusalem. Also remember, when Paul the apostle had met with him, and the other apostles, and expounded the great mystery of Christ on the cross to them. Remember that in Galatians 2:1, what did he say? Paul says, then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated to them that the gospel which I am preaching among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were by reputation, lest by any means I might run in vain. Paul is saying, I didn't waste my time. Like you, Peter. We don't waste our time when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and when we remember that the gospel is going to bring persecution, rejection. People are going to hate us. They don't want nothing to do with us. But yet, because we belong to Him, He will protect you. He will watch over you. He will demonstrate His love and power over your life, and you will shine as the stars of heaven. That's what the scripture talks about. And yet, think about this vicarious atonement, the accomplished for each one of us individually on Calvary's cross, Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:16 says what? And that He, Jesus, might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enemy. And then He said in Philippians 3:18, for many walk of whom I've told you often, and now I'm telling you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Wow. Not everybody in the church is a friend of God. Some become enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ by the way they live. If you're not living a life of obedience, then how can you be the friend of God? Think about that. If you're not really a friend of God, how can you really stand before presidents, ambassadors, or governments? They will try to kill you. And how can you say, I am not bowing to Caesar, but I am bowing to Jesus Christ? No, you'll say, I bow to Caesar. You won't have the power. If you can't live for Christ, how can you die for Christ today? And whatever you're facing in your life today, God is with you. And you need to understand that if God is for me, nobody can be against me, not even cancer, not even disease, not even anything in this world. As I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ fully and completely, I believe in Him. And He will do a tremendous work in my life. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, notice, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What does it mean? He finished what He came to do. To die for the sins of the world. To die for you and me. So that we can experience the blessings of God. And we can understand in our own minds that if God did that for His own Son, then if that was His only begotten Son, then why should you and I not suffer for Jesus Christ when He suffered for you and me already?
Well, as we've heard today, the image of a star shining brightly in the night sky is a powerful image as we consider our role in illuminating the gospel for those around us. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to get a full copy of today's teaching, we'll send one to you for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and ask for the message from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Now, for additional encouragement to persist in sharing your faith, we'd like to tell you about this entire 1 Peter series. This 42-part study is available on both CD and flash drive, with each lesson exploring what it takes to stand strong and uncompromising for Jesus. You'll find that while it's not always easy to live for Christ, you can always be assured of His powerful presence in your life. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Raul's 42-lesson study of 1 Peter. We'll send you the thumb drive for $42 or the CD set for $63. That's 800-634-9165. This resource is also available by writing to us at Somebody Loves You Radio, Post Office Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This ministry is entirely listener-supported. Your generous donations help us keep sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every gift is tax-deductible. Well, thanks again for including us in your day today. It's always a blessing to study the Word of God with you, and we invite you to join us next time for more insight into God's heart. Here's Raul with a closing thought from today's teaching.
I think about if the Lord tarries any longer and things are happening real fast, which He'll never give you more than you can handle. But think about this. If everything already is in existence, Magog and Gog and Islam and all these things, and Israel is being pushed now. They want to push him into the sea. And if we really truly believe that these are the last days, the next event in God's calendar, without any doubt, is the rapture of the church. And that could happen at any time. And that's why we're feeling the pressure. But what does he say? He said, even when the pressure comes, he says, it's not going to be like the great pressure, the tribulation that is coming upon the world. The church has been promised to be taken out of the way. We're not going to be here. And God is preparing us to depart. So what do we have to do? We have to get closer to the heart of God. And we got to start reading more and praying more. And we got to be more committed to telling others about Jesus Christ. Why? Because God loves them, and we need to love them too.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.